hard for what, Mom?
Yeah, you're right.
Oh, we don't blast you out. It is a wonderful opportunity for Alice and I to be here and share with these 2 weeks. This is a 2 week sermon series, okay? And we're going to talk about an issue today that's a little bit of a problem, but I'm just going to give you a little bit of a hint about next week. I'm going to give you the secret to recovering from the problem, okay? So two parts, so that's just a little for getting you to come on to next week. I'm a 30-year retiree in the Eastman Chemical Company. 7 years ago, I became a licensed local pastor. Many people ask me why I never went into preaching, and I said I never was called. I was called to do a lot of teaching, and I did a lot of teaching, probably for 30-some years, but never felt the call until I finished at Eastman. And you know, you get a lot of experiences when you're around people. 4 years in the Air Force, 2 years at Mason-Dixon, 30 years with Eastman. Spent 6 years in New York City for Eastman. So I've been around. I've been to a few rodeos in my time. And when you're just a regular citizen, layperson, you hear things that pastors don't hear. You know, there's an old Irish saying that when it gets quiet, somebody will say, a preacher must have come by. And I think that's true. I'm still a licensed local pastor. I'm not assigned to any churches. I have had Bethel United Methodist Church, Cross Church, Okolona Church, and Cohiba Springs Church in the past. I'm now assigned to the Kingsport Academy. And the Kingsport Academy is designed, and I hope you've heard a little about it, and I'm going to share some more with you. And we are on the Kingsport District website. You just go to the Kingsport District website, Punch On Academy, there we are. You can read all about us and some of the offerings we do. But the mission of the Kingsport Academy is to provide Bible study and other studies across the district from Bluntville to Rogersville. There are 58 churches in our district. And let me say that as the Academy Director and working with the lay folks, I've had the opportunity to fill in for more than half of the churches when their pastors are away. So I probably have something that only a district superintendent might have, and that's the privilege of having preached in more than half of the churches that we have in the Kingsport District. It's been a pleasure. The Academy, we have three different categories of programs we do. One is Bible study and other studies. The second part is the lay servant, lay speaker program. And then the third part is the Certified Lay Minister Program. Now, if you're not familiar with those, again, we're on the web page. You ought to go to it and read about it. Or if you have any questions, feel free to call me or come by the house. We just live 2 blocks from here. And I'll be glad to share with you a little bit more of that. Now, I want you to understand one thing. I bet Susan was 100% Methodist, so she might have said something else. And by the way, she was my mentor. Now that she's moved out of the district, she probably won't be my mentor. And I enjoyed getting to know her, and she literally was one of my favorite preachers, which is why Alice and I would visit here from time to time when we didn't have somewhere else to go fishing. But I want you to know that I'm about one-third Jewish. What do you think about that? But you see, my heritage is Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and Joseph. That's your heritage too, though. You know, when we talk about the Old Testament and the New Testament, it's just one testament. Part of it is before Jesus, the other was born, and the other part is after Jesus was born. One testament. The Old Testament is just as relevant today as the New Testament is. And if you don't believe me, let me ask you a question. Are the Ten Commandments still relevant today?
Yes.
They're found in Exodus. That's in the Old Testament, right? So, the reason I say that is we're going to be in Malachi, which is the last book of the Old Testament today. But yeah, I'm one-third Jewish. I'm also one-third Pentecostal. Hallelujah. So if any of you want to raise your hand or say amen or get up and run around the church, it won't bother me. In fact, I might get a little more excited. And I'm one-third Methodist. I guess I better be since they have licensed me to preach in the pulpits of the United Methodist Church. And I've loved every minute of this call that he's given. It's not a job, it's a call. And by the way, we're all called to different opportunities within this kingdom. I hope you know and are fulfilling your call. If not, you need to look into the academy. It'll help you understand your call. We're going to be talking about the book of Malachi today. Malachi is the last book in the Old Testament. That means it probably has some good standing in the book, right, in the Old Testament, right? To be the last book in the Old Testament. It was written, and for the time, around 425 B.C. 400 years or so before Christ was born. Malachi happens to be the last prophet in the Old Testament. We're going to talk about what Malachi prophesied about and what he warned the people about in a minute. But understand that around 400 B.C., just 25 years or so after Malachi finished prophesying to the nation of Judah at this time, God goes silent. And the Jewish people do not hear from God or any prophet for 400 years until John the Baptist comes on the scene. Now, I bet you didn't know that John the Baptist was the last prophet, did you? He's in the New Testament, Richard. Yeah, but he's the last prophet before Christ comes on the scene. That's what the prophecies were all about in the Old Testament. Was that. You have in your bulletins printed some of the scripture that we're going to read today. And so I want you to take a look at the Malachi reading. It's Malachi 1, verses 6 through 10. Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, we ask now for the gift of preaching. Understanding that preaching is not just words that are spoken, Lord, but they're your words spoken through me. They're your words that are heard. They're your words that are understood. But most importantly, Lord, they're your words that become a part of our lives, or more a part of our lives, today and every day for the rest of our lives. For we ask this in the strong name of Jesus Christ, and we do so by the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Malachi 1, starting with verse number 6. You don't need to stand because I'm going to be preaching as I read some of this too. I know it's a little different. But stand in your heart. Isn't that what Susan did one time? Stand in your heart. Yep. Stand in your heart. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. Then, and these are the words of God being spoken to the children of Israel through Malachi. These are God's words through Malachi. Then, if I, God, am a father, where is my honor? That should get somebody's attention, didn't it? But then he goes on to say, and if I, God, am a master, and master is another word for Lord, by the way, where is my respect? God is asking the priest and the children of Israel, where is my honor and where is the respect due me? Says the Lord of hosts to you, O priest, you priest who despise my name. But you, priest, say, how have we despised your name? God says to the priest, you are presenting defiled food upon my altar. The priest replied, but you say, how have we defiled you What they're saying is, God is saying, where is my honor? You have defiled me. And then God says, because you have put defiled food upon my altar. And the priests are saying, have we defiled you or have we defiled your team? God answers that. How have we defiled you in that you say the table of the Lord is to be despised? Is it the table or you, Lord? God answers. But when you present the blind for sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you present the lame and the sick, is it not evil? You see, what's going on, and you need to understand, and I hope you do, the Old Testament sacrificial system, where the children of Israel would bring to the temple and give to the priest a ram or a bull or doves to be sacrificed on the altar, to die on the altar and be sacrificed. And if you go back to Leviticus, you will read in Leviticus where God says to them, bring to me an unblemished, perfect ram or bull, that anything less than that will not be acceptable by me, God. It must be perfect, unblemished. And what the children of Israel have fallen into is a state, and if we're not careful, we do these kinds of things, of a state of bringing God less than perfect. They are bringing blind and lame and sick animals to the priest to put on the altar, and the priests are accepting it and doing it on the altar. God goes on to say, why not offer to your governor? The governor being the Persian king and his person who's in charge of the area around Judah. Why not offer it to your governor? Would you offer something this lame to your governor? Would he be pleased with you? He'd probably cut your head off. Or would he receive you kindly, says the Lord of hosts? Let me ask you, husbands and others in the audience, men, if you were to bring your lady a dozen red roses that were wilted, how would you be received? You boyfriends would have the door slammed on your face, and you husbands would be sleeping in the doghouse tonight, right? Doesn't that make sense? You brought something lame and sick and weak. That's how God feels. That's how He felt. And that's how he feels when something less than perfect is presented to him. God says, but now you not entreat God's favor that he may be gracious to us? With such an offering on your part, will God receive any of you kindly? Says the Lord of hosts. God is asking, if you bring something less than your best to the altar, will God receive that? And you know the answer. The answer is,
no.
No. You wouldn't receive it, would you? And he goes on to say this. These are sobering words from God. Oh, that there were one among you who would shut the gates so that you might not uselessly kindle fire on my altar. I am not pleased with you, says the Lord of hosts, nor will I accept an offering from you. God has said, I would rather you close the gates of the temple so that nothing can be put on that altar than for you to bring a blemished offering to the altar and put it on that altar. You're better off not bringing it than bringing one that's blemished. Will I accept it? God said, I will not accept anything less than your best. Here. Well, how does that apply to us today in the New Testament? Trust me, it does. And that's what I want to share with you today. You see, it's all about a relationship between me and God. It's about a relationship between each one of you and God. And that relationship, which is a key word, is truly dependent upon your attitude toward God. You see, in the Old Testament days, their attitude toward God had dropped off. And their relationship was beginning to drop off as a result of what they were doing. And we need to be careful that that doesn't happen in our life, because that is a human tendency. Notice, I've been to a few rodeos, I've preached to a few churches. I have to tell you this story. Alice and I are driving down Stanley Valley Road. How many of you know where Stanley Valley Road is? It's over in Hawkins County. Runs parallel to 11W. We're driving down Stanley Valley Road. There's a lot of farmland there, pastures. And the Lord says to me, and by the way, the Lord does speak to us. Amen?
Amen.
All right. The Lord said to me, Richard, look at those cows. There's a bunch of cows standing along the road over there. I drive by and see these cows. He says, look at those cows. And I'm thinking, why in the world, Lord? I'm driving to church to preach, and I'm thinking about the sermon, and you're asking me to look at cows. And so I looked at those cows, and it didn't take long for me to understand what the Lord was talking about. I looked at those cows, and I saw, here's how those cows were looking. And I think they were looking across the road at the grass is greener on the other side, and the dirt grass was just as green. But here's the way those cows looked. I said, I got you, Lord. I see that every Sunday for my congregation. And look, it's almost bewilderment. Richard, explain that a little bit more or something, you know? So, when I break smiles, I see some smiles. I love to see some heads nod. I love to see some hands go up. It's really great to hear some amens. All my little crosses coming out there.
That's right.
But how does this Malachi apply to us today? I got a test for you. We're going to get it right now. Now, you don't have to answer this question out loud or show any physical signs, but I want you to answer it truly in your heart, and you know who can read your heart, right? I can't. I can read your faces sometimes. When I see that smile go to a uh-oh. This morning when you got up, when you woke up and you got up, did you say, thank you, Lord, I woke up? Now, as old folks, we like to say that every day, right? Thank you, God, that I woke up. And thank you that I get to go to your house this morning on this Sabbath day, and I get to worship with fellow Christians in your house. How many of you said that? Or did you just get up? I'm checking some faces and smiles anyway. Most of you just got up, didn't you? Most of you just got up. What a way to greet God on a brand new day. Especially on Father's Day. Especially on the Sabbath. So how are you going to get up next Sunday? How are you going to get up tomorrow? You just going to get up? Or are you going to get up and thank God you're able to get up and looking forward to this next day? Then you drive to church, or maybe some of you walk to church, and you're walking in from the parking lot, and you're approaching the steps out here. And now, this is not in here, but if you have a Bible, there's more one in the pew. How many of you brought Bibles today by chance? Raise your hand. That's good. That's about average for the Kingsport district. And that's a sad commentary on the Kingsport district, if you want to hear from this Pentecostal. And I guess a little bit of Baptist preacher, too. You know? I want to turn to Psalm 100. I'll be everything. before I'm out of here today. Psalm 100, you've heard it before, but I want to go to verse 4 right now. Verse 4 says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and come into his courts with praise." And you prayed with that this morning. I heard that. I said an amen. And he said, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and come into his courts with praise. Give thanks and bless his name, God." Now, let me update that. That's Old Testament reading right there, because you see, when you went to the temple and you entered the temple, you entered through a gate. Not a door, you entered through a gate. And when you entered the gate, you went into a court. So thus the psalm says, "Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and come into his courts with praise." Now I'm going to update this just a little bit. "Enter his doors with thanksgiving and come into his sanctuary with praise." Now I got a question for you. Question number 2. You see some smiles first. Don't want any cow looks yet. When you walked through those doors, the minute you walked in those doors, did you say, "Thank you, God, that I can be here, that I'm here today"? And when you walked into this sanctuary, did you say, "Praise God that I'm here in this sanctuary"? Or did you just come in? Or did you just come in the doors and walk in the sanctuary? Start talking about it in those doors. You with me?
Yeah.
Which one did you do? I'm seeing some cows looking at me. I see a few smiles out there. You see, God, when we walk in the doors, He wants you to thank Him. And when you come into this sanctuary, He wants praise right away.
Amen.
Don't wait till we get the joy going. And by the way, Ralph Stanley couldn't have done it any better.
Hallelujah.
Some of them really looking at me like a cow right now. What is Ralph Stanley about? You see, God wants us to come in. Now, do you know the difference between thanking God and praising God? Do you know the difference? Is there anyone in here who knows the difference and is willing to come up here and share what the difference is? Being good, strong Christians, having listened to Susan for 10 years, I believe. And I know she explained this. Anybody want to come up and share with me what's the difference between thanking God and praising God? A bunch of cows, man. You see, you thank God for what He's done for you. Thank you, God, for what you've done for me. When you walk through that door, thank you, God, that you have allowed me to be here in this church today. That's what you thank God for. That's thanksgiving. Giving thanks to God. Praising God is, you praise God not for what He's done for you, but you praise Him for who He is, Almighty God. Not what He's done for you. You see, sometimes that's all we're looking for is what God has done for us. Right? And what God is looking for is not thanks for what He's done for you, though He wants that. He wants praise for who He is. God the Father, He's your Heavenly Father. He wants that praise. So next week when you come in, when you walk in those doors, before you say anything to anybody, say, "Thank you, God, I'm here." And when you come into this sanctuary, before you say anything to anybody, everybody just be quiet and let them come in and let them say, "Praise you, God. I praise your name for who you are." How'd you do on number 2? Number 3. When you come in and you sing Him, I love this church for singing hymns. You know, this choir up here, when they're singing some of those really rocking songs, hymns, they're all up here. You can see them. And they don't look like a bunch of cows. They got smiles on their faces. And Betty's about this high off the floor.
That's the
Pentecostal in there. That's the Pentecostal in it. Amen. We need some more Pentecostals in there. Listen to Psalm 100, still there. Psalm 100, number 1. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all you earth. You're part of that, all you earth, right? Shout joyfully to the Lord. It's okay to shout in church.
Amen.
Thank you. You with me? It's okay to shout in church. Now, there's a time for reverence. But I just can't imagine. When I read in the Bible about what's going on around the heavenly throne, man, it's not quiet. There's a lot of people saying a lot of things. Like, thank you, God, and praise you, God. You find it in Revelation, you'll find it in other books. What's going on around the throne in heaven? And by the way, the Lord's Prayer said, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven, and there's joyous shouting going on in heaven. So let's joyous shout down here, please, sir.
And
with me. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all you earth, and serve the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful singing. In fact, your choir is named the Joy Choir.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Your scripture. Isn't that perfect? Now that means you guys should be when we're up here singing. And, you know, of course you put the words on the screen, I think, don't you? So you look up. It really bugs me in other churches when they sing and they've got the hymnal right here and they're looking down and they're singing to the hymnal. Oh, thank you. Yeah, at least when you guys sing, you look up. But let's understand one thing. Who are you singing to? You're not singing to the choir, and you're not singing to them for applause. Who are we singing to? We're praising God Almighty, right? So praise Him while you're singing. Don't just look at the words and sing them. Sing them with joy and praise Him. You're worshiping God with your hands. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Don't just sing. Get a little rhythm. I know I don't have a lot of rhythm. You know what I'm talking about. The Bible calls us to do that. You see, every part of the worship service is important. Unfortunately, we preachers, we get out here at 1 o'clock, right? Anybody got a lunch appointment before then?
Yes.
You see, every part of the worship service is important. We preachers have tried to make you think that the most important part of the worship service is the sermon. Well, when the new preacher comes on, I don't know who it is, y'all probably do, but when the new preacher gets here, you tell him or her that, by the way, your sermon is not the most important part of the service. And you probably straight tell him, Susan, man. She'd come back the next week with another sermon. But it's not. And we in the hierarchy of the church, we put it last because everything builds to the sermon. No, it does not. Let's talk about when we give our gifts and our offerings to God. Come up and hit the plate. We do that reverent thing we're supposed to do, right? Then we hand it to you. You put something in it, you hand it to her. Go ahead. You put something in it, you hand it to her, and then you bring it back. Don't want any hands to go in there. And that's how we do it out there, isn't it? You just pass it along. Did you ever think? You know, and I sit up here in all these churches that I preached at, and I just watch people pass it from one to the other, and you look like a bunch of cows handing it. It's just part of what we do. We just hand it to the other, they put it in the other. Did you ever think about, I'm going to be a magician, but did you ever think about when you put your money in the plain safe, thank you, God, for what you've given me, and now I'm going to give back a portion to you before you hand it to the next person. Doesn't that sound like a good thing to do? And then that's your individual thanking God for what He's done for you, given to you, and you're giving a portion back. And then collectively it all comes up here, and as a church, we bring our offerings to God and give them to Him. Putting your money in the plate is as important as the sermon. with me? It is. Singing a hymn is just as important as the sermon. Every church I know, listen to these words now, either says or prays the Lord's Prayer. Hear those words? Every church I've been in either says or prays the Lord's Prayer. And my gut is, my instincts tell me, that some are saying the Lord's Prayer and some are praying the Lord's Prayer. I don't know which, but guess who does? Now here's the issue. We know the Lord's Prayer so well that when it's time to pray, we stand up maybe, and we just, because we've got it memorized, and I've been saying it for 60 years, I got it down. So I just stand up and I just say it. Because it's the reverent thing to do, right? What we do in church. Never give heed to the words I'm saying. Any of you guilty of doing that? Well, I've got to find out right now. You see, there's a line in the Lord's Prayer that you have to be very careful. And that line goes like this. Father, you forgive me as I forgive others. Stop and think about that a minute. You ask God to forgive you as you forgive others. If there is someone in your life who has wronged you and you have not forgiven them, then God can't forgive you. Period. You with me? Give me an amen.
Amen.
You know? But we just gloss over those words and don't pay attention. And it's like God says there in Malachi, I would rather you not put anything on the altar than to come and put a blemished thing on the altar. And you come and put a blemished thing on the altar, which is not your best, and then what do? You turn around and ask me for my best blessings. Don't we do that in church? We Christians, huh? Aren't we guilty of that? We are. So, is there anyone out there in your life that you have not forgiven, that you hold a grudge against, that's done something against you? Before you pray the Lord's Prayer again, you need to go ask them. I mean, you need to go forgive them. What they've done to you, even if they haven't asked. You forgive them. And suddenly that opens up the channels for God to forgive you. But there's more than that. There's more than that. In Matthew chapter 5, Matthew chapter 5. Therefore, this is Jesus speaking. Therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, this is New Testament stuff now. Therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, they have something against you. Leave your offering there and go and first be reconciled to your brother or your sister. You ask them to forgive you because you've wronged them. God says, don't bring your offering to the altar if you've wronged someone and not ask them to forgive you. Leave your offering there before the altar and go first be reconciled to your brother or sister and then come and present your offering. And then, and only then, will I accept your offering. So you see, what God Almighty wants is He doesn't want any grudges either way, either against you or for you that hasn't been forgiven. Are we all clear on that? If we're guilty on either one of those, go take care of it this week. Before you come back next Sunday. These aren't suggestions, by the way. These are commands from Almighty God. Had you brought your best to God Almighty this Sabbath day? Paul sums it up in his letter to the Romans. That's in your book. Romans chapter 12, starting with verse 1 and 2. Paul talking to the church at Rome. Therefore, I urge you, brethren and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. That's what God wanted in the Old Testament, brought to the altar, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And that's what He wants in today's world, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. And He's talking about you. You see, that present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. In the Old Testament, you brought an animal to the altar and you killed that animal on the altar. That was the sacrifice given. Now Jesus is saying to Paul, to tell the churches, present yourselves when you enter that door with thanksgiving, right? And enter into His sanctuary with praise. Present your bodies. Present you. You now become a living, not a dead. You become a living and, listen, a holy. Did you know you're holy?
Yes.
Did you know you're holy? If you ask Jesus to forgive you this morning before you came here, and you haven't committed any sin since then, you're holy. And thank Jesus, we can go to Him every day and say, forgive me for an old hair. You probably know where you sin. But that doesn't mean you can go out and sin and then come to Jesus the next day and ask for forgiveness. He gets tired of that after a while. But when you're forgiven of your sins and you ask the Lord for forgiveness, you become holy right then. You become set aside, and you're what God is looking for. So present yourselves when you come to church, a living and a holy sacrifice acceptable to God. He's looking for you to come in and be perfect, and to thank Him and praise Him and to worship Him with your whole being. That's what God wants. That's what God wants. You see, sometimes that's a little hard to understand, those words of Paul. And you have to have a good Old Testament understanding of the sacrificial system to understand what Paul is saying here. And a little plug, that's what the Kingsport Academy is all about. It's connecting all of the dots from Genesis 1 to the end of Revelation, connecting the dots. So you see God's plan. Which, by the way, when you see God's plan, you, it reveals to you God's will. How many of you have ever asked? I want to see a show of hands now. By this thought, how many of you have ever asked, God, what's your will for my life? His will for your life is the same as every other life. It is. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Jesus. So I have everlasting life. That's God's will for your life. That's Jesus' will for your life. Now the Holy Spirit has another will for your life. You need to let the Holy Spirit answer that. That's a personal thing between Jesus through the Holy Spirit to you. Each one of us is a minister. We teach a course in the academy called Each One a Ministry. Your ministry, your individual ministry, is no more important than the preacher who stands in this office right now. Your ministry is as important. And you know the old saying about a chain is no stronger than its weakest link. If one of you, just one of you, is not fulfilling what God has called you to do in your ministry, this church is not the church God wants it to be. Period. That's good stuff. You with me? You understand? It's your relationship with God that is most important, and it's your attitude toward God and coming to God that determines your relationship. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, God's Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.